Hope everybody's well. Hope everybody had a beautiful Shabbos. Shavuot Tov, good ruach to you. I would like to talk about Parshios Tazria and Metzora, which are very often read together, as they are this year. And of all of the double Parshios that we have, Tazria and Metzora actually makes the most sense logically to be read together. The lion's share of both Parshios Tazria and Metzora deal with the leper and the concept of leprosy. There are three forms of leprosy, which we will discuss today. There's leprosy that attacks the home. There's leprosy that attacks the clothing that a human being wears. And then there's leprosy that is found on the human being's body himself or herself. I'd like to go generally and take a quick overview of the entire two parshios, just getting a rough understanding of the sequence and the chronology of the three forms of tzaras that exist. And then we'll go back, ask a number of questions, and hopefully put these two parshios into context and into better understanding in light of them being typically one of those parshios which neither of us have a real sense of. It's sort of the type of parshios which we read through a lot of laws that seem to be arcane and very, very foreign. Although, of course, probably for the first time ever, the concept of the punishment of Tazria and Metzora, the leopard, is a punishment of Bedida, of being alone. So that certainly speaks to something that we are dealing with and living through, the issues and the challenges of the form of leprosy are things that we will address. So let's take again just a very, very quick cursory view of the parshios in general. And as I mentioned, go back and understand them a little better. The Torah begins Parshas Tazria, really, with something that we're not going to touch and talk about at all, and that's really childbirth, the Tumas Leida and then Paras Leida. That's Perek Yudbeis. That's a series of eight psukim that you see at the beginning of Parshas Tazria. Those are eight psukim and a Perek in and of itself. It's a standalone section, which we won't discuss. We will begin Parshas Tazria with chapter 13, Perek Yudgimel. And that is the pasuk that reads, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe bel Aaron lemor, Adam, ki yeh b'or b'saro se'es o sapachas o beheres, v'hoye b'or b'saro l'nega tzaras, v'huvel Aaron ha'kohen el echad mibanav ha'kohanim." So here it is. God commands Moshe and Aaron, saying that if a person comes and presents with either a se'es, a sapachas o beheres, three different types of lesions that are on the skin of a human being, and it seems to be tzaras, it's brought to Aaron HaKohen or to one of Aaron's sons to decide, decipher, to take a look whether or not this really is a form of tzaras or not. There are two items to note in this pasuk Beis, and Perek Yud Gimel, that is the word Adam that's used, man. Usually the Torah refers to Ish, O Isha, man or woman. Here Adam is not the typical way of referring to a human being. Adam, of course, is a reference to Adam Arishon. He was referred to, and his name was Adam. Some, I believe, explain that the reason that the word Adam is used as opposed to Ish or Isha is because Adam speaks to a sense of a person who is able to overcome and to grow from a personal challenge, right? Adam Arishon, of course, is word comes from the word Adama, which comes from the ground. Human being is ultimately Adam Arishon, of course, was came from the ground, came from nothing, built himself up, and so too we, individuals who are afflicted by leprosy, certainly have done something wrong and are challenged to correct his or her way, and therefore we refer here to Adam as a representation of a human being able to grow, to develop, and to climb the ladder of life, certainly when there is a leprosy, tzaras, is a punishment for a spiritual malady, certainly the way Rav Hirsch understands it, and obviously as I will describe a little bit later in today's share, and therefore some Mefarshim explain that the reason the word Adam is used here, as opposed to Ish, O Isha, is because it's referring to Adam min Ha'adama, man who climbs and who grows from the depths of the ground, climbs the ladder of life, and therefore it's a positive spin on an individual who has this form of a lesion. Note, of course, in the pasuk that there are three types of lesions that a person can get. A se'es, a sapachas, or beheres, very hard words to translate. But nonetheless, this leprosy would appear in three different ways, through the se'es, through the sapachas, or the beheres. Of course, each of those have significance in and of themselves, rectifying for a particular sin that a human being committed. The Torah now, for the next 40 or 50 psukim, and we will not go through the psukim here, but they are technical psukim, psukim of halachic import, and of course, Shibana Beis HaMikdash, B'mher V'yameinu, this will be very, very critical, because leprosy will be something that will obviously, again, be potentially possible. But here the Torah goes on to describe what the tzaras was, how the tzaras looked. It was a form of an inflammation. There were burns. There was tzaras in the hand. There was tzaras in the feet. And the Torah takes us all the way through Pasuk Mem Vav. So Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Vav, is the end of the section. If you're following along in the Chumash, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Vav, chapter 13, verse 46, is the end of the section of Tumas Tzaras Al Ha'adam. So the Torah goes through very significant details and the minutia of how Tzaras appears on the human being, and ultimately where it's going to be, the front of the head, the back of the head, how it'll look, the type of the lesion, the form of the lesion, and how men and women could be affected by this form of tzaras. But if you pick up in Pasuk Mem Zayin 47, the Torah then segues to a second form of tzaras. And this is what's called tzaras habegin, leprosy, and which afflicted the clothing. And Pasuk Mem Zayin reads, Vabegin, clothing, which become afflicted from tzaras, it would be afflicted on a linen garment or on a woolen garment. That's semer or fishtim. O b'shisi o be'ereth, or on the warp of the wool, or on the linen of the wool. O b'or o b'chomeleches or, or on anything fashioned out of leather. So let's understand these first two psukim dealing with tzaras habegin. And note, of course, that the tzaras and the beged only came on, seemingly, clothing of wool and linen, or in the warp or the wool of, or the warp or the woof of the linen, or on leather. So the Torah is quite specific here, as opposed to tzaras ala adam, which we read about thus far. Tzaras habegin, tzaras in the clothing, seemingly have a more limited status and only appear in particular forms of clothing. As we just said, it's going to come in the wool and the linen, on the warp or the woof of the linen, and then in leather or anything fashioned out of leather. See, we have to understand why it is that it's not going to afflict other forms of clothing. If you continue to read Pasuk Mem Tes 49, V'haya hanega yirak rak o adam dam babeged, o b'or, o b'shasi, o b'erev, so if the affliction of the tzaras on the clothing will be a deep green or a deep red, in the garment of the leather, in the warp or in the woof, in any of these utensils or any of these clothing, that is going to be considered tzaras. Then you bring it to the Kohen. The Kohen will quarantine you for 7 days. On day 7, the Kohen will come and take a look and will decide and decipher whether the tzaras continues or not. And this concept of tzaras habegit takes us to the end of Parshas Tzaria. So that's it. Parshas Tzaria deals with two forms of tzaras. First, it deals with tzaras al ha'adam, tzaras that afflicts a human being, and then it deals with tzaras habegit. If you turn the page and begin in the next parsha, Parshas Metzora, we start to begin to read about the taharas ha-metzora, the cleaning, the purification process of the tzaras. And here the Torah goes on to describe in great detail how exactly the tzaruah wheel is going to be rectified, is going to be purified of his sin. And the Torah goes on to tell us what exactly has to be done. The Kohen describes, takes a certain type of bird. You bring the bird, you shech the bird, the clothing, the hair, and the human being will shave, and they'll become cleansed of their tzaras affliction. The Torah continues, and if you keep on reading Perek Yudalet, chapter 14 of Parshas Metzora, you'll continue to see the lengthy discussion as to how the tzaras is going to, how the mitzaruah is going to be purified, and that takes us to the end of Pasuk Lamed Beis. So following the details of the two types of tzaras that exist, tzaras ala adam and tzaras ala beged, the Torah tells us the purification process. But then it's in Perek Yudalev, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, that the Torah tells us about a third form of tzaras. And if you take a look with me in chapter 14, Pasuk 33, Perek Yudalev, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe vel Aaron Lemor, Ki Savo el Eretz Kenan. When you enter the land of Kenan, Asher Ani Nosein Lachem Lachuza, so when the Jewish people will enter the land of Israel, which we will be given as an inheritance, V'nosati nega tzaras b'beis eretz achuzaschem, and the tzaras affliction will come upon the homes that you dwell in. So here it is, the introduction to the third form of tzaras that potentially can a Jew can be struck with and afflicted with. It's what's known as tzaras habayis, leprosy that attacks and comes on the home of the Jew in the land of Israel. So again, we have to note two very striking questions about tzaras habayis. Number one, note that the Torah tells us ki savo el eretz kenan. This tzaras seemingly is only going to exist when the Jewish people are in Eretz Kenan, only when they're in the land of Israel. We didn't see anything about the first two forms of tzaras, tzaras on the person and tzaras on the clothing, that has anything to do necessarily with living in the land of Israel. But it's specifically tzaras habayis that the Torah introduces here in Perek Yudal, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, ki savol eretz kinan asher ani nosein lachem. Question number one, what is it about tzaras habayis that's unique in the respect that it's only going to be attacked at the homes of the Jew living in the land of Israel? Number two, the Torah says very clearly, v'nosati. That's what the pasuk says, which means I will give, meaning that it's almost as if God himself is the one who's going to mete out the punishment of tzaras habayis. Tzaras haguf, tzaras habeged don't say anything about God attacking the person or God attacking the clothing. But here the Torah says, ki savol eretz Kenan, when you enter the land of Kenan, asher ani nosein lachem, that I've given you as inheritance, v'nosati, I will strike you. Neged tzaras v'beis eretz achuzaschem. So what is it about tzaras habayis, tzaras that comes on the home, that it's God specifically who's giving and who's meting out the punishment of this tzaras? Question number three. It's very, very strange and almost unique that the Torah first goes through tzaras ha-adam and then tzaras ha-beged, tells us about the purification process of tzaras, and only after the purification process then tells us about the third form of tzaras, which is tzaras habayis. Why does the Torah go out of its way to uniquely set the tzaras habayis separate from the entire two other forms of tzaras? And more than that, if you take a look, and it's quite obvious, tzaras ala adam and tzaras al ha-beged are placed in Parshas Tazria. And then you have the purification process. And then in Parshas Netzora, you have tzaras habayis. Why are we separating the tzaras that hits and it attracts itself and is contracted on the home, separate from the first two forms of tzaras? What is it about tzaras habayis that's so fundamentally and categorically different that it seems to be in a different parsha after the purification process of tzaras haguf and tzaras habeged, and only in the land of Israel, and it's as if God is going to give it specifically to the Jew living in the land of Israel in his home? So tzaras habayis needs a little bit of understanding and has to be appreciated and understood in and of its own right. Why is that the case? Continue in the parsha, you'll take a look. The Kohen, again, like the tzaras ala adam and like the tzaras on the beged, comes to the home of the individual who has been struck and who has contracted the tzaras in the home. And the Kohen will decipher and define whether or not indeed it is what we refer to as leprosy. If it is, the home will be quarantined for 7 days. And only after that will we then go through the purification process of the tzaras and the bais, and then the individual can return to his home. But nonetheless, again, we need to understand what is it about tzaras habayis that's so different from tzaras ha-adam and tzaras ha-guf. Let's just review the questions that we've asked thus far and try to put this in light in terms of the two parshios that we're reading. One thing which we have not yet asked, and this is interesting to note, is the order and the chronology of the parsha in terms of tzaras goes from tzaras ha-adam, tzaras that was contracted on the body of a human being, and then tzaras ha-begen, tzaras that afflicted a person's clothing, and then tzaras al-habayis. That's the order. What is uniquely interesting about that is the fact that Rashi, the Rambam, as we'll discuss very shortly, tell us that it's actually in the opposite order the way that it was contracted. The Torah tells us that first is Adam, then is Beged, and then is Bayis. What's interesting about that is the way it would happen in real time, in real life, is first it would come on the home, then it would come on the clothing, and then it would attack the person. If that's the case, why does the Torah set it up in the order that it does? First on the body, then on the clothing, and on the home. If in real time, in real life, first to attack the house, then the clothing, and then the human being itself. Further, let us understand why is it that when it comes to tzaras habege, that it only seems to attack clothing, specific types of clothing. Remember, in the warp and the woof of the linen, only will be wool and linen, and furthermore, only on leather. The Ramban also seems to note that the tzaras would only attack clothing that were white. Now, that the Torah doesn't tell us, but the Ramban understands that it will only attack white clothing and not colored clothing. The overwhelming question that we'd like to try to understand is why is it that there was a need at all for three types of tzaras? What is God telling us when he teaches that there's tzaras on the house, tzaras on clothing, and tzaras on the human being? Why is there a need for three forms of tzaras? If tzaras indeed is a punishment, is a spiritual malady, is something that one has done wrong and there's a punishment. So why do you need three types? What's the Torah telling us that there's tzaras habayis, tzaras habeged, and tzaras haguf? Or in the order of the Torah, tzaras haguf, tzaras habeged, and tzaras habayis. Why three forms? Why the need for these three types? And of course, why is it that tzaras habayis seems to be quite different in totality from tzaras habeged and tzaras haguf? Why is tzaras habayis in a separate parsha? Why is it found in Parshas Metzora? And why is there a great gap in separation between it and the other two forms of tzaras, especially in light of the fact that we read about the purification process of tzaras after the first two forms of tzaras, and only later, once we enter the land of Israel, does the Torah report, define, and tell us about tzaras alabayis? Those are the questions that I would like to raise about tzaras, and these are the issues that I would like to try to address. In order to understand the three forms of tzaras, I'd like to first introduce you to the Ramban. The Ramban, Nachmanides, has a very well-known comment in Parshas Bo, in the end of Parshas Bo, where he talks about the way that God has a relationship with man. God relates to man in two very different ways. God relates to man benistar and benigla, which means that God relates to human beings in a very hidden way, in a very undercover way, and then in a very open and obvious way. Of course, we live in times post-nevuah, post-prophecy, where the only way we are able to have a relationship with God is b'derech nistar, is in a hidden way. We don't see God in an obvious way. There are no nevi'im, there are no prophets, there's no prophecy. We have to try to find God and to create the relationship with God on our own, which is hard, which is not so easy. That's one form of a relationship with God. That's one way God reveals himself to us, is what's known as nister, hidden, uncovered, a little bit more complicated. A second way that God connects to man is b'derech nigla, in an obvious way, in an open way, in a miraculous way. And that's the way that God related to man during times of Nevuah, and of course during Chumash, throughout the years in the Midbar, the way Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, the way Nevi'im and Nevi'os, the way Klal Yisrael was able to relate to God throughout Tanakh, throughout Chamisha Chumshei Torah, throughout Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, God related to man in an obvious, in an open fashion, in an open way. The Ramban writes in the end of Parshas Bo, in his discussion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in his discussion of Kriyas Yamsuf, in his discussion of Matan Torah, and I quote the language of the Ramban. Min hanisim hagidolim umufursamim adam moda benistim hanistarim. Which means that God only creates open, obvious, fantastic, magical miracles in order to hone man's vision to recognize God in a more basic and simple way. If I were to ask most people, what's greater? What's the way that I would want to relate to God? In a hidden, quiet, undercover way, or in an open, magnificent way? Most of us would probably say, I want to see God in a revealed way. I'm not interested in the undercover relationship. I want to see miracles. I want to live and see obvious ways and forms of God. Meaning, I want to be privy to see God in a fantastic way, in a miraculous way, just like generations of Jews did until the cessation of nevuah, cessation of prophecy. But the Ramban says just the opposite. Min anisim agidolam umufursamim. From great and majestic miracles, other mode of anisim and astarim. Then man will be able to see God in a hidden way. The Ramban says the only purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, the only reason for the 10 Makos, for the 10th Makos, Makos Bechoros, the only reason that the sea split and God revealed himself in Matan Torah in an obvious way, is in order that human beings, Jews, will be able to live their lives in a mundane way and recognize that God also speaks to us in the regular channels as well. The Ramban continues and says, "She'ein la'adam chelak b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu, at shenamin b'chol divareinu u'mikreinu she'ein b'hem teva u'minhago shel olam." Man has no place and has no access to the five books of Moshe until he recognizes this philosophical truth, that God relates to man in the natural order as well. We need to understand, says the Ramban, this basic philosophical tenet, that the only reason for open and obvious miracles is to hone our vision and to help us recognize that the day-to-day, the daytime and the nighttime, the week in and the week out, yearly, monthly, daily, hourly, every second, God controls, runs, talks, and works through our life. The difference between what is miraculous, the difference between Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and the other items that take place on a daily basis is just that some are more regular and we're accustomed to them more than others. Sunrise, sunset, childbirth, and the gamut of different things that take place throughout the world and the lives that we live are just as miraculous, if not more miraculous, than Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah. It's just that we are accustomed to them and we're used to them, and therefore we don't see them as being miraculous. But the Ramban says that every human being needs to know, it's mandatory to understand, that everything that happens in the world, even though we don't see God in a revealed way, is just as miraculous as Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah, and even more so. Thus, the Ramban lays down this foundational point in explaining our relationship with God. Two ways, Nistar and Nigla, hidden and revealed. And the only reason that God provides miracles, obvious, blatant miracles, is to allow us to recognize that the things that happen on a daily schedule, on a regular day, are also miraculous, are equally miraculous, and even more miraculous. With that backdrop, I'd like to go back to Tzaras and understand these three forms of Tzaras in a very, very similar way. Note, we had three forms of Tzaras. There's tzaras on the body, tzaras on the clothing, and tzaras on the bias. The Ramban, Nachmanides himself, explains this very idea about miracles being obvious and hidden in a similar way. The Ramban states very clearly in Perek Gimel Pasuk Mem Zayin that the two forms of tzaras, tzaras on the home and tzaras on the beged, were miraculous. They were beyond our obvious eye. They were well beyond the things that we could take for granted. For example, tzaras that's on a human being, you could own to a malady. You could explain that there's a lesion on a human being's body, and therefore that's very natural. You could explain that within the context of science, within the context of medicine. It makes sense that a person can be afflicted with leprosy. Historically, there was such a thing called leprosy. Even the Rav Hirsch, by the way, doesn't believe that tzaras is leprosy. He understands tzaras to be something completely different. But tzaras that afflicted a human being, such a form of tzaras was natural. It's explainable. It would be a lesion. It would cause bleeding potentially. It was a discoloration of the clothing. The sa'es, sapachas, abaharas, those were all natural, ordinary, regular ways of a medical disturbance that took place. Saras that attacked and afflicted and was contracted on a home and on clothing was something that was out of the ordinary, was something that was strange, was something that was clearly God-given, because clothing don't attract lesions. They don't attract leprosy. Homes don't attract leprosy. You can't explain that medically. That's ununderstandable. That's unexplainable, says the Ramban. And therefore, the Ramban understands that there's a split and a very, very basic distinction between these three forms of tsaras. Tsaras, that was affliction of the human being, was natural. It was nister. God was talking to a human being in a very hidden way, not in an obvious way. It was a medical ailment. But the tsaras that attacked the clothing and that attacked the home was obvious that God was talking to you. And therefore, that's when it comes to tsaras and the bias, Parshas Metzorah, that it was only when you enter the land of Israel. And that's why the Torah says in the Pasuk, V'nosati, I am going to give it to you. Because I'm making it very clear to you, young man or young woman, Ish o Isha, man or woman, that I'm talking to you in a very obvious way that I can only give you this in the land of Israel. Only Kisavol Eretz Kanan. Venosati, I'm giving it to you. And the fact that it's happening in an unnatural and an obvious way, that means God is talking to mankind and to this human being in this particular time and in this particular home in a very obvious way. So tsaras habayis of all three forms of tsaras was the anomaly in the respect that it was quite different, because it was really God talking to a human being in the most blatant and obvious way possible. And therefore, it's separated from the other two forms of tsaras. It's not in Parshas Tazria. It's after the purification process that is listed in Parshas Tazria regarding the mitzvah. It's only in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And it's Venasati, I am giving it to you. Tsaras HaBegem, says the Ramban, is very similar. And therefore, it was only on white clothing. It was only on types of clothing that were shasi and erev, the woof and the wool. And it was only on wool and linen, to tell us that I'm making it obvious that I'm attacking you in a strange way, also in a miraculous way. If it would happen on a colored clothing, one could argue that maybe it's a discoloration of the clothing, the laundry caused it to happen, it's something strange, it's out of the ordinary, we could explain it. But when it's on white clothing, and it's on the shesi and the erev, it's on the wool and on the linen, on the warp and on the woof, then you have to ask yourself, well, there's something fishy here. And therefore, says the Ramban, tsaras habeged is very closely tied to tsaras habayis in the respect that it was also out of the ordinary. It was different. It was galui. It was in a revealed fashion. Says the Ramban that these two types of tsaras were absolutely miraculous. I'll quote you the language of the Ramban. Ze'einenu b'teva klal. Lo havu ba'olam v'chein nige batin. Says the Ramban that when it comes to tsaras habayis and tsaras habeged, einenu bateva, it's not a natural order. It's out of the ordinary. It only happens, says the Ramban, biyos Yisrael shleimim Lashem, when the Jewish people are in perfect form and are creating a relationship with God that is so pristine and is so clear. Yia ruach Hashem aleim, God's spirit will be upon the Jewish people, tamid, God will be able to talk to the Jew in a very clear and obvious way in order to correct their ways, in order to put them on the proper path. And therefore, kasher yikra be'echem em chet va'avon, when man sins and does something wrong, yishave kir be'visaro o be'bigdo o be'beso laharos ki Hashem sar me'alav. God is talking to you when there is such an affliction that you've done something wrong. This is a malady of a spiritual extent that is causing this to take place. Fix, correct your ways. And the Ramban continues and says, that's the reason why the tsaras of the clothing would only come on white clothing, because if it would come on colored clothing, one could order, maybe that's natural, and it's not the hand of God. Therefore, says the Ramban, it only happened on white clothing because that's going to be so obvious that it's God talking to you. Based upon these two Rambans, the Ramban in Parshas Bo and the Ramban here in Parshas Metzorah, we could understand very clearly why there are three forms of tzaraas. And the Klei Yakar makes this point very explicitly in this week's parsha. He says that what takes place in these parshios and the reason for these forms of tzaraas, says the Ramban, is because first the human being would be attacked and would be struck with leprosy. And the question was, would I recognize it? Would I realize that God is talking to me? When the affliction would touch my home and would affect my house and would affect my clothing, would I realize that God is talking to me? Would I take that to heart? Would I allow that to penetrate my mind and my heart and my soul to realize that I have to correct my way? Just like the Exodus, just like Yetzias Mitzrayim, just like Kriyas Yamsuf are supposed to open me up to recognize that God is talking to me, to mankind, and to the Jewish people in the most remarkable and fantastic way, that's supposed to hone my vision to allow me to live the rest of my life in a very obvious way that God is talking to me. That's tzaraas habayis, and that's tzaraas habeged, that should allow me to recognize that even when there's affliction on my body, that God is talking to me as well. Therefore, says the Klei Yakar, that's the reason that we need three forms of tzaraas. You need tzaraas habayis, tzaraas habeged, to allow me to recognize that God is talking to me in an obvious way to correct my ways. And if I get that, if I understand that, then I'll also understand that the tzaraas that's affecting my body, which seems to be a regular medical malady, that's also an attack from God speaking to me. That's the explanation of the three forms of tzaraas. If you allow me to read you a Rambam, Maimonides, in the end of his commentary on tzaraas, in the Yad HaChazaka, in Hilchos Tumas Tzaraas Perek Tezayin, the last Rambam in all of Hilchos Tumas Tzaraas, the Rambam in his Sefer Yad HaChazaka in the Mishnah Torah is a halacha compendium, of course, but in the end of each of his chapters, when he deals with the halachas of a certain topic, he gets into a little bit of a philosophical understanding of them. And in the end of Hilchos Tumas Tzaraas, very intricate, detailed, complicated halachas about three forms of tzaraas, the Rambam tells us the chronology of how tzaraas hit a human being. And listen closely what the Rambam says, and it's quite similar to the Ramban, with a very important addition. The Rambam says as follows. The change that takes place in a human being's home or in clothing when tzaraas attacks, b'shutfus Hashem eino miminhago shel olam. It's not the normal way of the world. When clothing are afflicted with leprosy, when clothing contract leprosy, when a home is attacked with leprosy, when a home contracts leprosy, einenu mimin hago shalom. That's not the ordinary way of the world, right? That's what the Ramban, Nachmanides said, zeinenu b'teva. It's not normal. It's miraculous. It's something out of the ordinary. Says the Ramban, ela osu pela. It's a miraculous sign. V'Yisrael kidei lahasir milashon hara. To teach and to warn, as the Gemara says in the Maseches Erevin, that a Jew may have been speaking lashon hara, and therefore the attack and the punishment that takes place is a punishment in the form of tzaraas. Shahmisapir bilashon hara mishtanos kiros beso. The home, the walls of a human being who spoke lashon hara begin to change color. V'im chazerbo, if the person recognizes it, yitaher habayis, the home will become cleansed. The walls will go back to normal. V'im amad birisho, if this person continues to be rebellious and to stand up against God, achehuta tzabayis, until the home changes, mishtanin klei haor shebebeso shehu yoshev v'shochev aleim, then everything in the home begins to become discolored, and everything you're lying on and sitting on becomes changed. However, im chazer bo yitaru, if the person, the man or the woman, changes his or her ways, then everything will become cleansed and purified. Vim amar birisho, if this human being continues to rebel, ad sharfu mishtanim habigadim she'alav, his clothes contract leprosy. Vim chazer bo yitaru, if he decides to do tshuva and turn his ways, his clothing will become purified. V'imama birisho ad sharfu, and if he continues to rebel, mishtane oro, his body color, his ore, his flesh begins to change colors. V'yitztara, and he'll become a tzaras. V'yemuvdo u'mefursam levado, then it's obvious that this person has contracted tzarasik, his body becomes discolored, se'es, sapachas, and baharis, and then the person is forced to leave the regular area where the Jewish people stayed, goes michutz, lamachana, bada, yeshev, and this person is considered a leper. So the Rambam, like the Ramban, and like the Kleyakar who we just described, seems to indicate that there is a chain and chronological process that takes place. First, the home is attacked in a very unnatural way. And if a human being is unable to realize that God is talking to me by discoloring the walls of my home, and everything has changed so drastically, if I don't get that, if I don't see that God is talking to me, if I don't realize the sea has split, if I don't see the miracle of blood turning, of water turning to blood, then what does God have to do? It's going to be tzvardeya. If you don't get that, Paro, it's going to be kinim, arov, dever. And the punishment rises to the next level. And the next level in these parshios, after tzaras habayis, becomes tzaras habeged, tzaras on the clothing. That's also strange. It's also a manipulation of the natural order. That's also miraculous. That's also something out of the ordinary. And therefore, God is speaking to me. And if I still don't see that, then I'm going to get the tzaras on my body, the tzaras on my guf, the most extreme, which is ordinary, which is regular. And then we're forced to send you out of Machane Yisrael. You're going to Michutz La, to Klal Yisrael, Badad Yeshev, you'll be placed in isolation, in quarantine, and then maybe finally you'll recognize what's happening. So here we see the way of the world and the way God works in terms of relating to man, and in terms of the punishment that God sometimes metes out, is in a way that's supposed to talk to us and to help us understand and to hone in and to see how clearly God is speaking to man. And if I don't get that, then God has to up the ante and raise the understanding in a different way. The hope is that when God speaks to man in an obvious way, I should get it quickly and move on. Like I said with Paro, if Paro was able to understand that the snake, the staff, which turned to a snake, and didn't get that, then we have to go into the Aseres HaMakos. We'll start with Dan, we'll make it light, and Tzfardeya, and Kinim, and Arab. And when the world order changes, that has to touch us in a very significant way. And that's what the Ramban explains to us in these parshios, that the open, obvious miracles, Tzaras that happens on the home, in Eretz Yisrael, that God is giving us, that's so out of the ordinary that I should realize that I did something and I have to fix myself. If I can't get that, it's going to come closer to me and it's going to attack my clothing. If that I don't get, then it's going to attack my body. But here in a philosophical extent, we have to appreciate and understand the way God works within the world. And that is that really the natural order is the ideal. We should be able to understand and to appreciate God in the regular open world that we live in. The world that we live in today, Tafshin Pei 2020, God is talking to us and relating to us no different than he did when the Jewish people were in the Midbar and were privy to open miracles, and no different than when God was in the Beis HaMikdash and there was all forms of miracles taking place. That was only one face of God. That was the face of God in the revealed, in the open, in the nigla, in the obvious way. But God also relates to man in a hidden, covered way. And it's the same God. Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, Vahi Erev, Vahi Boke Yom Echad. God in the day and God in the night. There's a God of Din, there's a God of Rachman, there's a God of judgment and a God of mercy. It's the same God. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we said it in Shema this morning. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals two faces, a face of obvious, of blatant, magnificent. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu at Matan Torah. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu at Kriyas Yamsuf. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu through Tzaras HaBayis and Tzaras HaBeget. And then it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu that appears to us post-Nevuah, post-prophecy. It's the Tzaras that affects our body. That's the world that we live in today. The world that we live in today is a world where we don't see God in an obvious way. The world that we live in is a world where we have to be able to find God, because God isn't revealing himself in the obvious form. There isn't Kriyas Yamsuf. There isn't Matan Torah. There isn't the Aseres Hamakos. But we have to note and to understand that the way that God relates to us is through Nistar. It's through the things that happen in the world, and we need to open up our eyes. When things today happen which are out of the ordinary, then we have to scratch our head and say, hey, God is talking to us because we didn't figure it out in the natural order. And there's no question that the things that we're living through now is making it very obvious for us to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us in an obvious way, in a way of Tzaras HaBayis, in a way of Tzaras HaBegin, in a form of Kriyas Yamsuf, in a form of Matan Torah, in a revelation very similar, because you can't explain the things that are happening now. Doctors are raising their hands and saying, we don't get it, we don't understand, we can't figure this out. There's so many questions that we have. We don't know and understand and appreciate what's happening. We don't know where this is headed. We don't know how this is happening. That is the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Matan Torah, and the Tzias Mitzrayim of our generation. And that's supposed to hone our vision to make us recognize that something is happening here, and we have to be able to work with Hashem in our daily life regularly. That's what's happening this parsha. The Tzaras HaBayis and the Tzaras HaBegit is supposed to hone our vision when we see something out of the ordinary, miraculous, to recognize that God talks to us regularly as well. And what emerges from the Ramban, actually, is that the mundane, natural order, the world of Teva, the world of nature, that's really the way it's supposed to be. If we could find God in the day-to-day, and when we wake up, when we go to sleep, throughout the course of our day, that's the way we're supposed to really appreciate God. God only creates miracles in order for us to recognize God in the regular day-to-day, day in and day out. Therefore, when something out of the ordinary happens, we have to grab it, we have to understand it, we have to appreciate it, and use that to transition, to see, to feel, to relate, and to have a relationship with God, even in the natural order. And that's the way God relates to man, that's the way that God has a relationship with us, and that's the way the world works. And that's what Tzaras is teaching us. Therefore, we need three forms of Tzaras. We need it on the bias, on the beged, on the guf. The bias is the most unnatural. It's the most miraculous. It's only in Eretz Yisrael. It's only Vinasati, God giving it to me, and therefore it's separated in a different parsha, not with the beged and not with the guf. And it's only after the purification process. And therefore, like the Rambam says, you start with that form of Tzaras, and it happens first. If you don't appreciate and you don't understand, you didn't pick up that I'm talking to you, God says, then I'm going to do something else. I'm going to give you Tzaras on the Beged. And that Tzaras HaBeged is sort of also out of the natural, out of the ordinary. And that's why it's only on white clothing. It's only Shesi Ve'erev. It's only on wool and linen, on the warp and on the woof and on the leather. Also to scratch my head and say, something's different. Something's fishy. Something is not ordinary here. And therefore, again, God says, I'm talking to you. Hello. And if you get it, good. But if you don't, it's next step. It impacts the body. And then you have to leave Machane Yisrael, because the goal of God in his relationship with man is, like the Ramban said, Mina Nisim Hagidolim Uforsamim Adam Moda Benisim Mistarek. God performs unnatural, out of the ordinary, miraculous things in order for us to hone our vision to recognize the day-to-day and the ordinary. And the ordinary here is the disease, the leprosy, which we is contracted on the body. The Gemara tells about an individual who was struck with a certain ailment, Rav Huna. And when Rav Huna was struck with this ailment, what do we do when we're struck with ailment? We go to the doctor. That's the world that we live in. We try to understand, uncover, and take the right medications and to take care of ourselves. And that is what we are supposed to do. Post Nevuah, when we don't understand why God does what he does, we have to take care of things in the natural order. But Rav Huna said, I know I did something wrong. I made a mistake, and he's tried figuring out, what did I do wrong that God has done this to me? And this is true both when there's a punishment, as well as in the other realm when there's a reward, when good things are happening, and when life is sending us peaches and things are happy and positive. We also have to scratch and say, God, you're doing so much for me. God, you're taking care of me. You're looking after me. We can't allow things to go wrong for us to recognize God. sometimes that's what happens. When something hits and tragedy strikes, we say, what does God want from me? Why is God doing this? Why is this happening? So sometimes God says, well, didn't you see I was with you for 10, 20, 30 years, and day in and day out, I was taking care of you. I was watching over you. Why didn't you say hi to me? Why didn't you daven shachris, mincha, and maariv? Why weren't you connecting to me? Why weren't you having a relationship with me then? I need to wake you up a little bit to shake things up and to say, here I am. And just like the tzaras, habayis was supposed to shake up a person to make you realize it's time for me to correct my ways, sometimes the same thing happens. Bayamim ahem basman hazeh. So two parshios which seem to be very technical and very detailed oriented, which really don't speak to us so much in our days, in our times, I think speak to us in a very, very clear, obvious, and blatant way, both philosophically and practically. Tzaras speaks to the human being and speaks to the Jew in a very deep way. And the tzaras and the three forms of tzaras are talking in the most basic philosophical extent about our relationship with God. And this is something we have to contemplate and ponder, that God talks to us all the time. Let's not wait for tzaras habayis and tzaras habegin. Let's understand and appreciate that God talks to us even when the regular, natural, ordinary happens. We shouldn't be waiting for the out of the ordinary. We shouldn't be waiting for things to be different, whether it's on a national, international, or on a personal level. When God creates hurricanes and tornadoes and there's an eclipse, those are all God talking to man because we don't recognize God on the regular and the day-to-day. So God says, I need to wake you up. You want me to show you my face? You don't see me in a hidden way? Then I'll do something different. I'll create a hurricane. I'll do something unnatural. And I'll do something out of the ordinary, because when that happens, when there's a tsunami, then you'll hear me, then you'll see me. When there's a natural disaster, then you'll wake up, then you'll see me. When there's a plague, the likes that we're seeing now, then everybody says, I don't get it. Even the prime minister said, we don't understand. And when he was questioned and said, in Weizmann Institute, they understand. He said, in Weizmann Institute, they're also waiting for God to explain to them what's happening now. Nobody understands. So when that takes place, we need to be able to recognize that God is talking to us, whether it's tzaras habayis or tzaras habegin. But that should allow us to recognize and to figure out and to understand that God speaks to us regularly, daily as well. And therefore, that's the natural course of these two parshas, going from bayis to beged, the guf. The reason why it's put in the opposite order, first on the body and then on the clothing, and on the house, explains the Klei Yakar, that God first gives us the basic and the most obvious way that it happens, the mundane way, to teach us how things happen in an ordinary construct. So first it happens on the body, then it happens on clothing, and then it happens on the house. But in real time, it was in the opposite, in order to help us. God loves us, God wants to take care of us, wants to teach us. And he's setting up a system for us to recognize that. And any time you see now in the Torah, in the Nevi'im, or in the Ksuvim, punishment, or God's revelation of his hand, it's all coming to speak to us and to speak to man. And when we get it, it's good, and we move on. We live in a world today, as I just mentioned, and we'll close with this, of the natural order. And in a certain way, it's harder to appreciate and to recognize and to create a deep, meaningful relationship with God, because God isn't showing his face. It's hard to have a relationship with somebody you can't see. Relationships we have are with people we see. When you can't see Hashem, so it's hard to form and to utilize and to concretize that relationship. But really what God is saying is, this is the way I want it to be. This is the relationship that I want, and I need you to find me. It's like when you're playing hide and go seek and you're looking for the person, you're looking for that individual. God says, I'm hiding, find me. Can you find me? Can you look for me? Can you connect with me? And you know, in the hide and seek, when you're not going to look for that person, it's very painful, because that person will just stay in the closet forever and nobody looks, and you go about your rest of your day and the person remains behind in the closet forever. That's how God feels when we don't look for him, when God is hidden. But our job and our responsibility now is to run, to search, to look, and to find. And now that it's happening in an obvious way, we have to figure it out quickly. And hopefully through the situation that we find ourselves in now, it will allow us to appreciate, to understand how clearly Hashem is talking to us. And the quicker that we can appreciate and to run after Hashem and to find Hashem in the circumstances we're in, hopefully our Kadosh Baruch will say, you got it. You figured it out. And just like with the bias that's attacked with tzaras, and we get it, then there's no need for tzaras aguf, and there's no need for tzaras abegin. Let's hope that we've figured out the reason for the malady spiritually. We are uplifting ourselves. We are driving and trying to be better Jews and to be better human beings and to connect to others and to Hashem, family, friends, and beyond in a very obvious way. And hopefully that should be the recipe for a swift and quick recovery for those who are sick. It should be a swift and quick recovery for all the Jewish people, for Klal Yisrael. Hopefully we see Hashem, we have found Hashem, we appreciate the challenges, we see Hashem talking to us, and now we will be able to correct our ways in order to see the world back to its natural order. May Hashem send us a quick and swift refuah for everybody, and the world included. I'm wishing everybody a Shavua Tov, a Chodesh Tov, a Shavua Bracha Natzlacha, a month of Bracha Natzlacha. As I mentioned the other day, Iyar, for Ani Hashem Rofecha. Aleph is Ani, Yud and Yud is Hashem, Resh is Rofecha. So hopefully this should be the month of Refuah, and seeing Hashem as the ultimate Merapei Cholim should be the ultimate blessing for us in the world over.